fans came out here to watch a game of football.
Once again, Sandy, football's the winner here tonight.
These two brothers know how to handle business.
Touched up the barrel. It came up behind him like a librarian. He never heard it.
What a delicious young player he is.
I see it, but I don't believe it.
It's two brothers, and they're gonna. It's called Two Brothers. Two brothers.
And welcome back to season two, episode one of Loose Lips Sink Ships. It's myself and my dear old smelly brother talking about football and all the current affairs of our world game in Australia. Here he is, the brother Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, Sean. You know, I've just gotten back from Sydney and I'm a little bit jet lagged, but I would get up for this podcast any day of the week.
What's the vibe in Sydney like when it comes to the AFL? Is everyone as excited as Perth people are for the football season?
No. It was first round of the NRL and I was watching a couple games, watching Gold Coast play the Canberra Raiders. It's just such a game of thuggery, isn't it? I can't get into it. But they've managed the last 2 weeks not to get into any other player scandals, so that's a huge start for them.
Huge start. I always wondered why the AFL don't sort of push their season start forward so to match it with the NRL. I mean, I don't think it really detracts too much, but it always bothers me a little bit, bugs me that they've got the hop on us like by a week. Why can't the AFL change that?
They'd be reverse engineering it from the grand final day, surely, and working it backwards from there, Sean. So I guess they'd pick a certain date in September or first day in October and work backwards. Then you can only have the 23 or whatever rounds it is. So the fixturing generally is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Maybe in a future time we can talk about like how we'd want to see the season pan out. But at the moment, I think it's pretty inequitable and pretty ridiculous the way it's set out.
I guess the NRL, the less for them, the better, considering all the off-field turmoil. But we're not talking about NRL, we're talking about AFL. And while we're on the topic of fixtures, I know you've got a bit of a gripe with the fixtures of round one. I've got a bit of a gripe as well. I'm pretty upset. I'm pissed off, actually, with how the AFL have sorted out the fixtures when it comes to the AFLW. I mean, the AFLW will play a grand final a couple of weeks from now, and they'll play it on a Sunday at the same time as two AFL games.
No respect for the league, really, if that's what you're going to pull out. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think the whole, I mean, look, it's still in its like infancy, the AFLW, and it's definitely building every year, which is fantastic. But they've still got a lot of work to do. I don't like the whole idea of these two conferences.
The two conferences is absolutely ridiculous. And there should have been a time in the first few weeks when it was obvious that the teams shaping up were going to be the best teams in Conference A and the worst teams in Conference B. It was obvious then that you just can it all and just go for a top four. It doesn't make any sense. And they should have fallen on their sword. AFL.
Do you know why they put in two conferences?
I have no idea. I'm mad now. Yeah. I've gone in all chirpy. I've had a good day, been to the gym, and now I'm all mad. I'm angry.
Yeah, right. You're trying to work off those skin folds, mate.
I'm just trying to do some exercise with my quad, you know, out of action. I can't run, so I've got to do anything in between. But the women's grand final, it will be watched because it has been a really good season for them. The skills have just been a lot better than previous years. They're really starting to find something, I think, the women's game. They're just starting to click, I think, these girls. And now they put on the same time as the AFL men. So it had to be a standalone fixture. Put on a Friday night. Put on a Thursday night.
No, that's why I asked. I don't know why is it a two-conference kind of league? What's going on there? Because it's clear that Conference B is the stronger of the two, it's the more even of the two, I should say, not necessarily stronger. I think Adelaide Crows, with their star Aaron Phillips, is clearly the best team. I reckon they're going to take it out for the year. Is there any thoughts on who they'll be up against, Sean?
They'll be up against the Dockers, I have no doubt. So Adelaide, this is it for the Group A, right? Adelaide, Dockers, Kangaroos, Melbourne, top four sides. Kangaroos and Melbourne won't make it. Carlton and Geelong, who are the top of Group B, they didn't even get the same amount of wins as Melbourne in the fourth place. If it was any male league across the world, it would be an indictment. It would be the laughing stock of the country. And yet, just because it's the women's game, we put it under the carpet and we sort of ignore it. But if you're following this game really closely, and I've had one eye, maybe one and a half eyes, maybe one and three quarters eyes on this league, on this season, It's an absolute travesty. They've got the AFL egg on the face, scrambled egg with sweet chili sauce all on the face.
Just to play devil's advocate, it's an emerging league. They're still trying to figure out what's going to work best. So, look, it's gonna keep on improving. It's gonna keep on getting better, and it's gonna grow. There's gonna be more and more spectators watching it. I think the grand final on a Sunday is something that could have been easily changed. Make it a spectacle. Make it a Friday night. Make it at the MCG, just beef it up, do similar to what the men's do, and then build from there. It is a bit of a shame.
It's a no-brainer, absolute no-brainer for me.
Can I go through my men's gripe?
Oh, yeah, go on.
This is a very negative start to the show, isn't it?
It's a windy start, isn't it?
What I don't like, Sean, and I don't want to raise my voice, but I will raise it to a certain decibel level if I have to. Well, you know what? Is this actually what the root cause of all this is? It's the non-Victorian teams just keep on getting shafted. And it's a Victorian league. It's a VFL plus others. And I think it's ridiculous. What I'm referring to is the fact that the West Coast Eagles, not only do they keep on getting written off by all Victorian commentators, but the whole AFL, they keep on getting written off even though they are clearly the best team. But now they have to play the first game of the year, the first round. They're going up to Brisbane to play a 7:20 game on Saturday night against the Lions, who bloody are an up-and-coming team, but they're nothing. Why isn't it a grand final rematch? Why didn't the AFL put a game, even if it's on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon, West Coast play Collingwood, grand final rematch? They will be two of the better teams this year. Why isn't that happening, Sean? You know why? Victorian bias. That's why. It's because they just don't care about the non-Victorian teams, and they just continually undermine them.
I don't really see an issue with it. I don't really know what you're getting at here. I mean, sure, Collingwood and Eagles would be good, but traditionally the premiership teams don't play off in round one, and the Eagles have got to play someone. I don't really mind it.
No, why not? Why? I think it would be such an amazing spectacle to have a grand final rematch every single year. It would draw huge crowds if you saw Collingwood and West Coast at the G on a Friday night. But even then, I think the West Coast should they deserve the right to unveil their flag at home against the quality opposition as well. So they'd have to go away to the Gabba first round. I think it was also pathetic.
Well, I think round one is always going to be a bit of a spectacle no matter who is playing. So it doesn't matter who plays who. So why wouldn't you leave a...
Do you think Brisbane and West Coast of the Gabba is a spectacle?
I think it'll have a good crowd. Mate, I think that it'll be the
be
biggest...
lucky to get 7,000 at that game. I bet you that they'll get 7,000 at the game.
I promise you they'll get more than 10,000.
No.
We'll put... What are we going to put on
we'll
this?
We'll have a look.
What do we put on this?
I reckon it's ridiculous. Supporters will be squirming at the fact that they have to play this absolutely atrocious time slot.
Well, they have to play... I mean, only one team can play in WA, and this time it's the Dockers. And Dockers versus Kangaroos Sunday afternoon is going to be a really great fixture. I mean, that's going to be a tight game, and I wonder that I'm actually for. I mean, the Eagles got to play someone. If they don't come up against a Melbourne team, then they've got to play another Eastern States team. I don't know what the problem is, to be honest with you. I mean...
Do you agree with the Victorian bias sentiment that
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's pretty well documented. I think everyone can safely say that Victorians bias Victorians. I mean, that's partly continuing on this gripe train of ours. Toot, toot, get on the gripe train. I don't like Carlton versus Richmond on Thursday night, tomorrow night.
Well, no. This is coming across as somewhat hypocritical, Sean, and I hate to get into a fight with my brother, but that sounds a bit contradictory to what you were saying before.
So, no, I don't think it's contradictory at all. I mean, in terms of I dislike a random round one fixture. As I said, it's going to be big no matter what. So why do we have to put as the standalone big game to open up the entire season, why do we have to choose two Victorian teams to play it out? Well, I mean, I would love to see even, how about this? The Lions versus West Coast Eagles on a Thursday night to open up the entire season. What is wrong with that? Do you know why? Because Victorians will want it played at the MC. I tell you what, if we have any Victorian listeners, they're not going to be happy because this is we're really attacking the AFL and the Victorians. But anyway, they're going to Carlton Richmond. First of all, Carlton they're going to be fairly rubbish this year. I'm picking 6 or 7 wins at best. Despite emerging, they'll look better, but they won't come out with the wins that people want. Richmond are going to dominate this year. They are going to absolutely tout the competition. You said the West Coast Eagles will be the best team. I have no doubt that Richmond Tigers will be the best team, in my eyes anyway. Why do they keep persisting with this Carlton Richmond when they can play any game? They could play any game and it would get a big crowd at the MCG. It would get a big crowd anywhere.
Your business now, or lack thereof, is really showing right now.
My business?
I completely disagree. To play Brisbane and Eagles on a Thursday night, the opportunity cost of not having a big club playing on that time would be, like, tremendous. I don't know why. It has to be a big game. It definitely, the Thursday Friday night has to be a spectacle. So that's when you have the most people watching the game, which is why I think a Collingwood Eagles game, a grand final rematch, will maximise that viewership. I don't think as many people would watch Carlton versus Richmond compared to Eagles playing Collingwood. So I don't really know why they're pushing this Carlton Richmond thing, other than the fact that the potential, if these two teams are really good, the potential for the actual eyes on this game, and that's how you maximise all your revenue, right? Is your TV sponsorship, TV viewership, TV sponsorships, blah, blah, blah. So they want this game to be big, but I agree. Carlton are well away off, and they've had chance after chance after chance. Do you remember it was like a couple of years ago when Carlton had 7 or 8 Friday night games, and every single one was a 50-point drubbing?
Yeah, I remember. I'm very well aware.
Yeah. So I think they need to, like, scrap this as a permanent fixture and just pick, like, a big, big game, which to me would be a grand final rematch. Or even, I think, the Friday night game, Geelong Collingwood, that will attract a lot of viewers. So that's a better option.
Yeah.
But are you still excited for the game? You still going to watch the Thursday night game? 100%.
I'm salivating for the prospect. It's just at the back of my head. I'm like, I wish there could be some sort of fair rotation policy, because this game is going to draw a huge crowd every year, the first game of the round. And although you say it has to be a powerhouse, I don't think it really has to be. I think you could play, because it's that first game of AFL for the season, I think it'll draw eyes and attract bums and seat no matter what the fixture is. I don't know, there's heaps here. Melbourne versus Port Adelaide, that's going to be a cracking game. Hawthorn versus Adelaide, that's at Adelaide Oval. Imagine a game at Adelaide Oval, the first game of the entire year. I mean, the Gabba maybe is one that maybe I will concede on. Wouldn't be a good one to open up the season. But either way, I don't know, it's really annoying. It's the same as them persisting with other... I mean, we're both Cats fans. Full disclosure here. But Geelong versus Hawthorn on Easter Monday. I mean, that's sad that the other teams can't share in it, the lesser teams. It's sort of a bias towards the Victorian powerhouses, when really you should want the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda to have their standalones. And I think they're working towards that. But give them a leg up and give them the easy ones. Give them an Anzac Day or an Easter Monday or something like that. It's unfair. It's unfair.
It's tricky. It's a tricky one because, I mean, the AFL loves a tradition, and I think ever since Anzac Day, Collingwood, Essendon has started and implemented, every team kind of think that, because that is a huge cash cow for both those clubs. I think, interestingly, I read the other day that the Easter Friday clash, which only recently has started, it used to be you wouldn't play a game on the Easter Friday.
They gave
Kangaroos and Western Bulldogs a chance, and it was like a less than a goal limit in the game. And now they've scrapped those two teams. And I think I've heard that they want to, that Brisbane and Hawthorn want to try and make the game their own on that Easter Friday. So, which is very interesting. I'm not sure how to do it. It's very hard because every team would want it. Every team would want to have a spectacle game. So,
yeah.
I don't know what you do. But talking about this Thursday night game, should we get stuck into it?
Let's do it. Teams are out. So Richmond have just got a whole lot better. They've got Lynch in there. You've talked to me about Mav Weller, who I'd completely forgotten about.
And Kilderman, the Saint, is now a Tiger.
Yeah, look, we can talk about it if you want. I mean, I will watch this. I'll watch, you know, every second of this game, but I don't think it's going to be much of a contest, do you?
I'm tipping Richmond by about 5 goals. Oh. And even then, I think that I'm probably giving giving Carlton a few goals head start there.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, if you cast your mind back to last year, Carlton were up by 5 goals midway through the second quarter and looking pretty strong. And, I mean, they've got their team looks all right. Carlton are welcome Nick Newman, Sammy Walsh, the kid, who looks like he's going to be a star, Will Setterfield, Alex Fasolo, Mitch McGovern. And look, yeah, that looks good on paper. And you know what? I 100% think Carlton will be better this year. They'll be bigger, those boys. They'll have a bit of muscle and meat on those lean bones of theirs. But at the end of the day, I think Richmond, I think people are forgetting. I mean, obviously, the grand final last year was probably one of the best grand finals ever seen. And people are getting caught up in the Collingwood Eagles story. But everyone forgets lurking in the background was the Richmond Tigers, who basically didn't miss a beat all year last year. They were absolutely amazing, and they were the team to beat. And if Collingwood didn't have a really great day in that preliminary final, or good night rather, and if Richmond played un-Richmond-like that day, I mean, it depends. The Richmond of old they played like, but the new Richmond that they're building towards, that new mindset, they weren't playing that way. They welcome in the best recruit from the trade period, which is Tom Lynch. Bolter is one that's also a really good player up and coming. The Tigers will be back at their best. Carlton will show glimpses, but Richmond were great last year and they'll be very, very good. Very good tomorrow night.
No, I 100% agree. I think Richmond were, throughout the season last year, and I actually think them and West Coast were the two undeniably the best teams. I think Collingwood hit the straps at the right time, but Richmond are going to dominate. And how can any team be worse with a pickup like Tom Lynch? You know, like, I think that he is a superstar if they can keep him fit. He's going to play, which is, I thought he was absolutely done and dusted, but he'll be good. And I think with the midfield power Richmond have, he's got your little spud, meatball spud, Prestia with Cochin and some up-and-comers like Lambert. They're going to be getting a lot of inside 50s, and they're going to be feeding Riewoldt, feeding Tommy Lynch. I'm reading now the team list. They've got Dustin Martin at full forward, which is salivating.
Yeah.
Got that one out. Some big milestones. Rancy Pants. And you've played on before, Sean.
Yeah.
You got towed up by Rancy Pants, didn't you?
No, I towed him up, actually. He got sent off and then he tried to drag me to full forward, basically. So he played full forward. I played on the full back after playing on the wing. He did knock someone out while I was playing on him. I could have put on the block, but he knocked out old Nick Brownbill. If Brownie, if you're listening to this...
Didn't you push Rancy in?
No. I had a chance. Basically, just for the listeners out there, so we went to Scotch College. Alex Rance went to Guildford. We played up against him. I was given the tagging role against Rance, who basically roamed around the wings, taking marks and raking up possessions. Ball's come into Guildford's 50. It's bounced. It's up in the air. Nick Brownbill's jumped up to get the ball. I'm with Rance getting front and centre. I peeled off for a quick hands because that's the kind of player I am, instead of putting on the block. And
selfish player.
No, I'm just an outside, just getting the possessions. That's right. And Alex Rance lined him up and cleaned him out. He was knocked out to next Wednesday. And Brownbill probably doesn't even remember that, so that's good. Hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast.
I don't think he remembers the year, mate. But Rance is playing his 200th game. Mm-hmm. So he's only gone from strength to strength since being towed up by you, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And then old mate Jack Riewoldt will play his 250th. Mark Murphy, the old captain of the Carlton Football Club, will play his 250th as well. He's been around for a while, Mark Murphy. You'd think that he'd be on more than 250 games, surely.
I think he's very but very serviceable and a very good player. He was elite, but not elite. So well done to him. I reckon.
And do you reckon Paddy Cripps is gonna dominate?
Yeah.
So he's gonna have another contested bull year.
Yeah, I would say, and I'm not lying here. I think Paddy Cripps will get the Brownlow this year, I imagine. I think he'll take the captaincy with both hands. I think Carlton will get a few more wins this year and he'll still be that bull. No one else will pick up his slack. He will just continue going from strength to strength. He already polls a lot of votes. I think he'll get more this year. I reckon Dustin Martin will have a really good year as well, but I think he won't poll enough compared to Paddy Cripps. Paddy Cripps is the Brownlow for mine, and to have a good game tomorrow night, but as I said, it would be the other players, your McIntoshes, your Vlostons, those sort of players that will get Richmond over the line. They'll flog it. They'll smash it. Do you want to have a quick Brownlow prediction, and then we should run through these fixtures?
I kind of wanted to raise the point of the 666. Because I just had a thought. Can I just give you the thought?
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about 666 opening the play up, right? And I was thinking, how good would Richmond be? You've got Trent Cotchin running the ball out, you know, after a nice tap from his old mate, Toby Nankervis, and kicking it down to the forward. Now, what Richmond did really well last year was isolate Dustin Martin and just give him a one-on-one. Do you reckon this new setup would mean that the forward line will have less space? I guess it's just in bounces, isn't it? It should be fine.
I feel like the 666 is, it's going to be, I don't think it's going to take effect until games get close towards the end. Because realistically, you can lock games down in the centre, and unless you've got a real bull in there who can take away a lot of clearances, it's still one-on-one at the other end. So I think it'll be interesting come maybe 5-10 minutes to go. The other team's just kicked in front, but they can't send everyone back like they usually do. Because usually, let's say, okay, here's an example. Collingwood kick a goal. They send everyone back against the Dockers. The Dockers win the tap. They've got Collingwood players are all... they're all down in their defence. If Dockers can pass it around the outside on the wing towards half forward, they've got free rein, and then they can pinpoint a pass. That's not going to happen. It's going to be one-on-one. So it's actually just going to end up with another contest as opposed to free possession on the wings and the half forward. So that's when it gets interesting, and that's when I think it'll be really good to watch. Even then, I think some of the rules, they just... they tinker a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's footy's footy. I don't think it has a massive difference. This 50-metre rule is going to be very interesting, and it will draw a lot of attention if it's taken advantage of. Hopefully the umpires can get on top of that. The one where if you get given a 50-metre penalty, the guy on the mark basically has to stay within goal side of you or otherwise not be within 5 metres or give away another 50 metres.
There's no point in even bothering to try and keep up with the person because I watched in the JAT, person with the free kick, just off.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be able to not... You can't avoid getting into, you know, their zone or their you know, their area, the player's area. So you just got to back off. Which will just mean that'll give the person awarded the free kick just a free kick to hit wherever they want. And or if someone from in front of the play comes to take the mark and comes on, then you got someone out the back, Sean.
Yeah.
You got someone free just to give it over to. So it is going to be very interesting. It'll probably mean that players won't be giving away as many 50s or trying not to, at least.
Oh, it means the penalty for a 50 metre is greater, which is probably fair.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 metre penalties are supposed to be, you know, a harsh ruling against your team that gives it away. So, you know, fair enough. Well, all right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't like the rule changes. I'm pretty sick of them, to be honest. I've written a I do a blog. Do you know I do a blog?
There's a blog.
I do a blog. TripleM.com.au/Esperance.
Go on. What's this blog?
Well, I've just decided, do you know how every year the AFL have their quota to give two or three or propose two or three new rule changes and implement them?
Not aware, sure.
Yeah, and it's unwritten.
Quota.
Yeah, there is a quota. You wouldn't see it anywhere, but there is, I promise you.
Give the AFL a break, Sean. They're just trying to do their job, mate.
I'm just saying.
What does your blog along say that's not happy?
No, I'm happy. I'm really happy for the AFL. They just want the best for all of us.
With his blog along, you reckon?
No. Well, the AFL just want to make the game look more aesthetically pleasing. They want to take it back to the aerial ping pong of the 1980s, which is fine. I'm all for that. I mean, they want higher scores. They want more one-on-one contests. They want more marks. So I've just written down some rules. I haven't sent it off to the AFL yet, but Gil, once I get his email, I'll flick it on. Do you want to hear them anyway?
Oh, if you want to articulate them, go for it. And if I ever meet old Stephen Hawking, I'll send them towards your blog log page, Sean. But yeah, go on.
So they want more goals, right? More higher scores kicked. Like, you know, they want forwards to kick back to 10 and stuff?
Yeah, 15, oh, 15,
I've,
yeah.
I've got it. Two balls.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, there's two balls increases the chance of more goals. I mean, you know, basically, if you split it up, two balls means, you know, nine players per ball. There'll be heaps of space. There'll be heaps more goals. And I tell you what, the centre bounce will be carnage. It'll be terrific to watch.
Tell you what, Patrick Cripps would be getting a lot of uncontested possessions with two balls, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
He would just take them both under his arm.
Yes, and imagine the double holding the ball, Ben. How exciting would that be to watch? Double ball!
Sounds pretty revolutionary, Sean.
Rule number two.
I don't like it.
Rule number two. They want more high-flying marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I reckon one player per team, pogo sticks.
Okay. I was more thinking that you've got a designated runner with like a bag on their back.
Interesting.
Get the runner out there. I watched Geelong train, and that's what they were doing. They had a guy with a little bag, and he was just like getting in people's way, just like a bludger does in Harry Potter. And you can either let the players get a bit of leverage on you, or you can start knocking people in the back like a turtle, like an angry turtle.
Ben, okay, I've got the blogger log here, and this is great that you mentioned runners, because rule number three is get rid of the runners, replace them with the coaches. Coaches run out the messages.
Yes. I can't see Ross the boss going out, leaving his little box.
Well,
imagine Bomber Thompson trying to eat his large stogie on the field. He'll just get all over his shirt, mate.
It's up to the coaches to get fit. It adds another dimension. And if you've got Ross the boss, I mean, he has to get fit to run out the messages. But I also think as well, you can have one assistant coach per team who isn't allowed to talk. He has to have tape over his mouth because he can't run messages. But he's allowed to block for the coach because the other coach can actually bump and tackle their opposing coach.
I like it. I like that little complexity.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you just choose something like a carrier pigeon? Because they won't actually get in the way.
They would, 100%. If a pigeon gets hit by a football, the two footballs that are out there, by the way, if the carrier pigeon gets hit, RSPCA will have a field day. The AFL will get sued for billions. The vegans wouldn't be happy.
So, Sean, what about this? I think the AFL are actually mostly concerned about the head high hit, about the concussions.
Yeah.
Right. So, and we know the AFL are all driven by profits. They're driven by money. So they're always releasing these new rounds with new jumpers or whatever. I reckon you just chuck a few pillows on the jersey and on the head, and you just play with pillows.
I think you should leave the rules to me, buddy boy. And rule number four. The rule number four for me, and the final rule, they want their one-on-one contest, right? They don't want players flooding back.
With pillows on.
Well, let's forget the pillows just for a second. Try not think of pillows, but try and think of the normal game as it is. One pogo stick per team, coaches allowed to run, and two balls. Think of that game, and then rule number four is every player and their opponent are attached by a rope.
Every player?
Every player to their opposing number.
So 18 players.
No. To your opponent. So let's say you're playing on the wing, your opposing number has a rope attached to you. That way, there's no way
So Trent Cotchin would have a little armband connected to Patrick Cripps. So that's what you're suggesting.
Well, it means there's only one-on-one contests all around the ground, and it can only ever be one-on-one contests because, you know, you can't leave the other person. It also makes for some interesting tug-of-war.
it does.
Anyway, so, Steve Hocking, if you get that memo, that blog, then, yeah, we should move along.
Chief of Footy Operations, Steve Hocking, not to be confused with Butter Hocking, Gary Hocking.
Yes, we'll run through these fixtures because we are running out of time. Just quickly, thoughts in less than 10 seconds for these games. Collingwood, Geelong?
Geelong, always.
That's it.
Give me a little bit more of a... I actually think it's going to be an absolute ball terror. And because I just don't know, I'm just going to fall back on the fact that I love the Cats and I love Cats generally. So I'm going to go the Kitty Cats.
Collingwood will be very fit. And they'll be firing. And they're going to be good with Darcy Moore this year.
They're missing a few players, though. Yeah. They're missing Taylor Adams, Hoskin Elliott. I think Elliott's still under Dama. I don't think they're going to be as strong.
How about the 2-minute pack on the ABC last night about Lyndon Dunn? I don't even know if he'll get a game, and they had a whole pack on him on the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
I didn't watch it, Sean. Can't say I was interested in Lyndon Dunn.
You should watch the news. It's good for you. Melbourne versus Port Adelaide.
Sean, Melbourne will annihilate the Port Adelaide Power, and it'll be done through the persistence and the skill of a young Angus Brayshaw, who is my tip to win the Brownlow this year.
Oh, what a dumb tip. Port Adelaide will be all right. Port Adelaide got six new faces, including Scotty Triceps, the Burton from Hawthorns, and they've got a few other younger players who could make the
difference. They're missing Ollie Wines, who is huge. I don't think the midfield can handle the heat of the Melbourne midfield and the heat of Angus Brayshaw. And I think it's going to be Melbourne quite easily, actually.
You might be right, but I think Port Adelaide may hang around. I think the MCG might be the difference as well. Adelaide versus Hawthorn. This is an interesting game. I think Hawthorn might get up here.
I'm going to go Crows. Crows are going to have a big year. The Crouch Brothers this year are going to run an absolute muck. They're going to just share 50 to 60 possessions a game. Hawthorn lose Tom Mitchell, who, I mean, he's a Brownlow medalist, and he's a huge, huge loss. They don't quite have the midfield power to replace him yet. I think when Scully comes back, when Wingard comes back, they'll be able to kind of spread the load a little bit more. But they're going to really, really miss Tommy.
Yeah, he's about
really sad that he's gone.
They've got to replace a billion possessions, so good luck to them. What about Western Bulldogs?
Imagine with two balls, Sean.
He'd be good. Yeah, Western Bulldogs versus Sydney Swans.
That'll be... I actually think this would be a close one. I'm going to fall back on the Swans just because they're an elite outfit year in, year out, so I'll go for them.
The fixture that you can't stand, that you're disgusted by.
Wait. Who do you reckon? The Bulldogs or the Swans?
Sydney. Sydney are class. I mean, they made the top eight last year. The Bulldogs will be better this year, but they'll still be bottom four. They haven't done enough to be really that impressive, I don't think. I mean, the thing is, with all these predictions, they mean absolutely nothing until round one, even to sort of round five, until the teams settle down, you figure out who's playing where, and you sort of get a gelling. The first couple games are like balls out of a gate. They're all running into each other. They don't really know what's happening. The really good teams are playing really good, but you don't really know where everyone sits until the dust settles. Yeah. So, I mean,
It's fun to make predictions, Sean, which is why my prediction is that Sydney will be the biggest loser this year.
Ooh.
From last year, the big slider, I should say, but I still think they might get the chockies just over the doggies.
Yeah, my big slider will probably be GWS, but we'll get to them in a little bit. West Coast versus Brisbane, your disgusting fixture that you can't stand and you think is completely crazy and stupid.
I reckon it's ridiculous that the AFL even have bothered, even how they could have thought about this, having the reigning premier play Brisbane at the Gabba. Regardless, I think Dom Sheed, after his grand final heroics last year, is going to become an elite midfielder. Bold. I watch a lot of footy and I reckon I can see it. And he'll get 50 touches and they will play very well, the West Coast Eagles against Brisbane.
It's going to be a tight game. I think Brisbane Lions will be the big movers this year. I think they'll finish around that sort of 10 to 6 position, but they'll be close. They'll be there or thereabouts. I'd say West Coast, but not by much. St Kilda versus the Suns. Whew, that could be interesting.
Who cares?
Giants versus Essendon. I think Giants will be on the way down this year. And despite being a home game for them, I think Essendon will be I think they'll be better. I think Essendon, through their JLT, they looked good in patches. How bizarre. Essendon were all right.
Essendon looked pathetic.
They were fine.
Geelong made Essendon look incredibly poor. I worry about Essendon this year. I just don't think they're as good as everyone thinks they are. Everyone keeps on giving Essendon this potential. They'll have another slow start. They've lost Bell Chambers, didn't they? I think GWS will win this. I don't disagree with you that GWS will slide, and the pressure of trying to make sure they re-sign Kelly and re-sign Caniggio, that external pressure will probably play a factor. I reckon GWS will win this game.
I think Kelly will be gone by the end of the year, and I think Giants will be in a bit of trouble. The Dockers versus the North Melbourne Kangaroos without Jesse Hogan. First of all, really quickly, really sad if he's got clinical anxiety. I still don't know how much of an excuse that is to go out drinking when you've been told by your club not to drink and you still do. I know that his anxiety means he makes bad decisions, but boy, oh boy, this is a really shocking decision. And this is when you're walking, effectively you're walking in day one of your job to try and impress all your spectators and you make a decision like that. It's really sad. And of course, the situation is horrible and we shouldn't joke about anxiety, especially clinical anxiety. But gosh, he's very disappointing.
Yeah, it's a disappointment we won't get to see him play for the Dockers. I think this whole conversation is very complex. There's a lot of moving parts to it, including the AFL drug policy and the fact that you can use these different excuses to kind of get around it. There's also the idea of even that drug policy itself in it, you know, in isolation, whether it's working as it should. Jesse Hogan himself and the Dockers, how they've traded in all these big names who have continually or consistently failed. I'm talking about Bunnell. I'm talking about back in the day, Colin Sylvia. Lots of discussion points here, and I just don't think we have the time. I just echo the sentiment that it's sad that he won't get to play for the Dockers because he's a ripper player. Dockers this week. He'll be back in a week.
In saying that, the Dockers will probably win this, I reckon, at home. Kangaroos will be really good this year. The Kangaroos will be good, and they actually had a good win last year at Optus Stadium against the Dockers, but I think Tricolia, I think Conca, I think they'll make the difference. And I think another pre-season under the belt of the younger players like Giro or whatever his name is, and, you know, the other young guy, Brayshaw, and, you know, the other fella.
Yeah. Chera, yeah. Sandfield, yeah. Your Tuckers, your Brady Grays, all those.
I think they'll be all right, the Dockers, this year. I reckon there's a whole bunch of teams that might move up and make the grade and sort of be almost top eight, or they might not. And I think the Dockers fall into that category. North Melbourne will probably make the eight this year, but I think Optus travelling away round one, it's going to be difficult.
I think I'm going to back North in here. I'm going to back the Shinboners. I think they have drafted very well. They've put in some very good players, like your Aaron Halls, your Jared Polek, they've got Jasper Pittard down back, and Ben Brown is an elite forward. And I know he was very good last year, but I can actually see him taking to another level, potentially winning the Coleman, young, big, fuzzy hair Ben Brown. And I think North may shock the Dockers with this game and win.
Yep, maybe, perhaps. You know what? We're done. This is way too long. I am thankful that you've stuck around for this amount of time, dear listener. You've been listening I'm going to cut it. Of course I am. I'm going to edit it out because that's how podcasts work. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Loose Lips Sink Ships. This is season 2, episode 1. I'm Sean. That's my brother Ben, who you've been listening to as well. Now it's time for our little sign-off that we always do. Ben, take it away.
Au revoir. I don't, what? What?